Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the vengeance of God. I was talking on the phone the other day to my son. And for those of you that are maybe at a spot with your kids that you think it looks pretty dark, and you think, oh, how's this ever going to change? It will. It will. I look back at his teenage years. It's like when he turned 11, he unplugged his brain for a number of years, and we butted heads on some things, and I can remember looking back and thinking, man, is it ever going to be any better? And it gets there. But we were talking on the phone the other day. He's 28 now. It's hard to imagine, but he was thanking me, thanking me for his well-roundedness. People were kind of joking around with him at his work about how what eclectic music he listened to. You know, everything from 80s heavy metal to rap to Frank Sinatra to old rock and roll. And he was thanking me for the well-rounded, not that I listen to heavy metal and stuff like that, but, you know, help make him well-rounded. And then he kind of took a little bit different turn. He goes, thank you also for giving me a good work ethic. You know, thank you for teaching me the right things to do. You know, the right and wrong. And we kind of got talking that it didn't all, you know, he didn't always choose to do those things. But he goes, you taught me. And he goes, I remember. I'm thinking, he was listening. But, you know, even though I thought maybe he wasn't at the time. But, and then he jokingly, he says, I also kind of did it because I knew you'd knock my block off if I didn't. You know, and I started thinking about this in relationship to God. You know, we always remember that our parents or God loves us. That the parents are always there for the kids no matter what. Case closed. Not that we condone what they do, but we're there, right or wrong, to let them know we love them. We try to teach them things. We try to express and guide them in the right ways. But in the end, it is kind of healthy, in his words, that I knew that, jokingly, not that I would knock his block off, but that I'd knock his block off. And he says, I knew you coached and stuff like that, but when you started coaching me in wrestling in high school, you were just dad. And I'd get on the mat with you, and you'd teach me a few things. Give me a little extra hard cross face just to let you know that you can do it. Things like that. And I started thinking about God. We love to think of God that loves us. We like to think of God that gave his son for us. We like to think of all the blessings that God gives. But there's also that God that's wrath. The God that destroyed the world except for 8 people. And we look at the vengeance of God. Hugh read our scripture reading today, and it was in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 through 10. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. a little bit different nature. We can't fear people into obeying the gospel. We cannot fire and brimstone somebody into obeying the gospel. But we need to remember as people that there's this side of God, that in flaming fire will take vengeance on those who do not obey. In Romans 14:11, Paul wrote, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." We will. Everyone will, even the people that have not obeyed. Hebrews 14:13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." You know, that's a little humbling to realize that we will stand before God and give an account of us. That the things that we thought we've done in secret, that we skated on, that we got away with, that we have to give an account. A very similar passage by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4:5, "They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." It's kind of a humbling thought that we're going to have to give an account for ourselves. In 1 Peter 4:17, Peter says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" What's going to happen to those that don't obey the gospel? There's going to be a judgment, and it's going to be starting with us. Woe to those people that haven't obeyed the gospel. We hear this term, obeying the gospel. What is the gospel? It's translated good news. And it is good news. But what is it? In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved." So far, right here, Paul's talking about the gospel to the Christians in Corinth, and he's saying, "I declare to you this gospel, which I preached." The gospel was preached. You received it, and you're standing on it. You're standing firm on that. "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." How do you obey the gospel? And goes on to say, "For I delivered to you first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." That is the good news. Amen. That Jesus died, he was buried, and most importantly, rose again. A lot of people die. A lot of people are buried. Only one rose again for our sins. Obeying the gospel. It says that we have to obey the gospel. How do you obey the death, burial, and the resurrection? That is the gospel. The good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How do you obey the gospel? It starts by hearing it. Nobody has ever obeyed the gospel that hasn't heard the word of the Lord. That's the first thing. You can hear it now. You can hear the Word of God by reading it yourself. You can hear the Word from a preacher, from a teacher. But you've got to hear the Word of the Lord. Romans 10, starting verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a lot of religious people. There are a lot of religious people that love to stand on that. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. Lesson over. Just let's go. See you. Call on the name of the Lord. That's all you got to do. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And a preacher doesn't necessarily mean the guy standing up front. A preacher can be the neighbor. The preacher can be a co-worker opening the Word of God to them. Amen. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, who bring glad tidings of good things? For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How can you hear the Word of God unless you search it out, unless somebody presents it to you? The first step, you're not going to call upon the name of the Lord unless you've believed in it. And you're not going to believe unless it has been presented. So you've got to hear the Word of the Lord first. You then have a choice. You know, life is full of choices. Once we've heard the Word of God, we have a choice to either believe it or not to believe it. We have to believe. In John 3:16, the Apostle John wrote, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in John 8:24, it says, Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Believe that I am Jesus? No, believe that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. Amen. That takes away the sin of the world. You've got to believe. You've got to be able to confess that belief. The world is full of people that believe that there is a God. If I would say most people in this country believe that there is a God. Do they confess it? Jesus said in Matthew 10, Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We have that choice, if we believe, to confess that belief or to deny that belief. In Matthew 16, Jesus is with his disciples, and it says, When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter made that great confession. He made that confession before men. And he was praised by Jesus for that confession. That's why when somebody comes forward wanting to be baptized, we always ask them, Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? In Acts 8, here is the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. They had been traveling together, and Philip was teaching the eunuch about the gospel. And in verse 36 it says, Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip says, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that great confession before men. You've got to repent of sins. You can't keep living the same old life. Why would you? If you've heard the gospel and you believe the gospel, that gospel is going to change you. You've got to repent of sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In Acts 2:38, when Peter was making the great gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost about how this Jesus, whom you crucified, was the Son of God, the Messiah that had been foretold for generations before. Verse 38, it says, they were cut to the heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's an eye-opening experience for them. That's a crossroads in their life. They did not realize this person that we crucified was the Messiah, who we've been looking for their whole lives. And Peter responded, he says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. These are people that crucified Jesus. And the remedy for that. I've sinned. And I know sin is sin. There's not degrees. But I wasn't at the crucifixion. They had that on their shoulders. And their response was, you repent. Repent and be baptized. It's as simple as that. In Acts 17:30, it says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Didn't God overlook a lot of ignorant things? Didn't condone them. He gave us time. He gave me time to be aware of it, to repent of my sins, and to be baptized. And you got to be baptized. There's a lot of religious theology out there that teach all you got to do is believe and be a good person. You've got to be baptized. Mark 16:16. I don't know how much clearer this can be for some of our religious friends. This is Jesus talking. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. There we go. In Acts 2:37-38, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was, repent and be baptized. We see the Ethiopian eunuch being baptized. We see Cornelius, a good and devout man who gave alms. He was baptized. We see Lydia and her family being baptized in Acts 16. We see the Philippian jailer and his family being baptized. Not just believing, not just living a good life, they repented and were baptized. We've got to remain faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Until death. It's not a safe slide into home plate. I got dunked, I'm baptized, I'm good to go, I'm safe. Anything else I do, I'm good to go. We've got to remain faithful until death. We do that through sound doctrine. We remain faithful through sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, Paul wrote to Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will put up people, yes, people, that will only say things that their ears want to hear. In Titus 1:9, Paul told Titus, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. In Galatians, Paul was amazed. He marveled, as it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. There is truth, and it can be learned. And if you hear any other perversion of it, it's not good. You remain faithful by turning from sin. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. That's a very visual example there. That after we have become clean, if we go back and get entangled in sin again, we're like a pig that returns after being clean back to the mud. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we knowingly, willingly go back to sin, that sacrifice doesn't remain. Galatians 4:9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God. And isn't that important, that to be known by Him? How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Why would you want to return to those things? We're going to end with words of Jesus to his disciples. We all claim to love him. Those of us that have been baptized, we've done it because we have heard the word of God, that we believe it. We've confessed that belief to people. We've repented of our sins. We were baptized. And we're trying to remain faithful. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. As simple as that. Those of us that have been baptized, we have a duty, an obligation to remain faithful all the days of our life. Those of you that are not baptized, I know you've heard the word of God, and in just about 25 minutes, you've heard the plan of salvation. Some decisions to make. Do you stay in sin? Or do you repent? You've heard the word of God. Do you believe it? Do you put your Lord on in baptism? If we can assist you today while we sing the invitation song, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known. If you'd like to put your Lord on in baptism, if you would like to study more of the Bible, if you have prayers, we're in our adult Bible class in the auditorium today, we were talking about prayer life with God. If you need prayers of your brothers and sisters for a concern or a trial that you're going through, by all means, we have got brothers and sisters here that would love to pray with you. If you'd like to identify with us here at South Valley, maybe you've been attending here. Maybe you've visited a few times and you've come to that decision. I want to work with this group. We'd love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would, let's stand and sing while Curtis leads us in the invitation song.